addict. My name's Tim.
Hi,
in recovery today, so through the grace of God and the fellowship of the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Some of you may be happy at this announcement. Some of you may be sad. The second speaker canceled. I got the whole hour and a half. It may get interesting toward the end. In Colorado, in 1986, I attended the Western States Unity convention there. And that was my first convention outside of Texas and outside of the World Convention. And when I was there, I met four people, Brian and Paul and Jim Bob and Jonathan. And I have seen them at almost every convention that I've been to since. And I was thinking about that this morning. We're not the convention. The speakers, the workshop leaders, we're not the convention. People like you all who come and participate and make the convention happen are the convention. And Jonathan died sometime a few months ago, 6 or 7 months ago. And when we close, I'd like to have, in memory, when we say the prayer, I'd like to have you have Jonathan in mind as we say it. Because his absence, I feel it, you know, and I know the other people that know him feel it. But I want to mention that because, you know, I keep seeing the same people over and over again. And they're not the people that are standing up here and reading, and they're not the people that are behind the microphones. They're the people that sit out there and make Narcotics Anonymous happen and make these conventions happen. And they're the backbone of what goes on in this fellowship. You know, and that's the important part. Now, it was strangely enough in Colorado in 87 that I finally attended a traditions workshop. It was Gary O. and John V. doing the traditions. And traditions, when I first got here, traditions were something on the wall that people who were service junkies memorized and spouted at appropriate times. And I did not need the traditions. I needed the steps to recover. And then when I got into service, traditions were very important for me to be able to tell you where you were wrong. Traditions were a club, you know. Steps were something that I used for personal recovery, and when I wanted to get a point across, I beat you over the head with the particular tradition club that was important at the time. Since that workshop, I've come to understand that I recover through 24 spiritual principles. That trying to walk through the road of recovery with just the steps is trying to walk with one leg. I need two legs to walk on, you know. And the traditions are just important in my life to my personal recovery as the steps. And occasionally, since I am free of mood-changing chemicals for a sufficient period of time, they are more important because the traditions saved me from my disease. The traditions, or the steps saved me from my disease, the traditions saved me from me at times and my way of inflicting what I believe is right and best for Narcotics Anonymous on you. Now, the ties that bind us together, and there are ties. The ties are the traditions. And that are stronger than the ties that would pull us apart. Those ties are my disease and the disease that resides in each one of us. You know, the ego and the self-seeking. The loving God that is expressed in this particular, in the traditions, is the way that I get out of me and into selfless recovery. I have difficulty. I was in a convention in Salina, Kansas in February and was going through some stuff there, you know, and what I came to understand was I'm not bound by yesterday. You know, the traditions I viewed yesterday may not necessarily be the traditions I view today because I've grown one day since yesterday. So people who have heard me speak on the traditions before may not recognize some of the things that I'm saying now. But I'm not the same person I was when you heard me speak before. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. When I look at that tradition, and unity through the traditions is the theme of this workshop, when I look at that tradition, it tells me that I need to get out of the way, that I need to be able to voice what I need to voice and give other people the opportunity to voice what they need to voice and not condemn them because they don't agree with me and not applaud them loudly and roundly because they happen to agree with what my particular beliefs are. What I'm looking for is a common ground. A common ground that accepts everybody that walks through the door of Narcotics Anonymous into the fellowship and allows them to have the voice that they need to have at the time that they're speaking. You know, give them room to grow as other people in this fellowship gave me room to grow when I came in. If I had been bound by the beliefs that I had in the first 3 years that I was in this program, you wouldn't see me at any conventions. You know, I was very narrow, insular, and had boundaries all around me and did not know what growth and change in this program was. But the traditions told me that when I become involved in a particular situation, what I'm looking for is an answer that best serves the great majority of the people in the room. So the common welfare leads to unity. You know, we can be unified in our approach to the recovery that's available in this program through the traditions. You know, and I used to use this one and three or four others to beat people over the head because they happened to be Anders. You know, and I walked out of the Sunday morning speaker in Albuquerque. I got up and walked out along with about 30 other people because she said that she was an alcoholic addict. And she was clean and sober. I gave her the alcoholic addict and walked out on the clean and sober. And I wouldn't do that today. I would not do that today. I don't agree with it. I don't particularly care for it. But what I agree with and what I care for are not particularly important to NA Unity. It's what is best, what best delivers the message of recovery. And I've learned that I went through about a year in Dallas of rage and anger. I would get angry going to a meeting because I knew what they were going to say when I got there, and they said it, and I got even angrier, and I left in a rage, you know, and grabbing people by the shirt front as they came out the door. Can't you introduce yourself as an addict? And running on, you know, and I have run people out of this program through the traditions. By use of the traditions, I have done my best to run people out the door, and that's not what I'm about today. But it was what I was about. And the middle ground that gave me to grow was personal recovery depends on NA unity. What we're looking for is a unification of what helps us, what will cause this program to grow and be available for the greatest number. People will change the language as necessary with their own personal growth. Now, when they're ready to change, they will change. And my screaming and yelling will cause them to go further the other way than they would have if I'd have left them alone and let them grow at their own speed. You know, I'm an addict. Somebody tells me to do something, I'm going to figure out what directly opposite of that is and go the other way. That's the nature of my disease. Authority figures were never my most popular people in my life. So what I'm looking for is to find a common ground that allows unity to happen in Narcotics Anonymous. When I take a stand for NA language, clean, recovery, addict, what I'm taking a stand for is not for me and my own personal self-satisfaction, but I'm taking and I heard Dutch say this in Long Beach, you know, what I'm about is providing an atmosphere of recovery in a clearly defined program called Narcotics Anonymous. I'm for the newcomer walking in the door who has been to other fellowships and heard that alcoholic addict stuff, and they walk in our door and they hear the same thing. They're going to say, this is the same shit that I came from, and they're back out the door and they may die. You know, what I'm looking for is a language that is clearly defined and different that will give the newcomer a place to say, wait a minute, this is different. This is the place where I can find something different maybe and sit there longer than about 3 minutes before they go back out the door. You know, NA language is about the newcomer. It's not about us old timers and middle timers. You know, it's not about the people who have been here for a while. It's about the newcomer coming in the door. So when we do that, we provide an atmosphere of unity, an atmosphere of togetherness, you know, an atmosphere of belonging. Janice talked about the energy in this room. You know, the energy in the room, this room and rooms like this all over the world, is magnificent. It is not to be believed. It is a gift of God. You know, when we come together, there is nothing that we cannot do. You know, nothing. We do. As an individual, I tend to limit myself. I set boundaries for myself. You know, Barbara J. told me, and she shared with me the secret of recovery in this program. The only thing wrong with me today is that I think there's something wrong with me. And that's true. But when we get together as a group, when we get together in unity, you know, we don't believe that there's anything wrong with us. I can only believe that there's something wrong with me. So the energy and the magic is much greater than the sum of all the parts. You know, you take 10 people, you don't have 10 recoveries. You got a recovery to the thousandfold. You know, and that's why this program has grown, because it's not based on any one individual, the need for satisfying any one individual. It's our common welfare that we're seeking for. You know, the common welfare that provides recovery for anybody, regardless of age, race, creed, color, sexual identity, religion, or lack of religion. That's what we're looking for. And we do it in groups so much better than we can do it as individuals, because we get ourselves out of the way when we join together for a common purpose. For our group purpose, there is the one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Now, there's controversy going on right now about what group conscience is. You know, some people think group conscience is the tally of the votes. You know, everybody discusses, we tally the votes, and that's the group conscience is the end result of the vote tally. I happen to have a different opinion, and I will express it as an opinion. Group conscience is a process. It is a process by which a loving God enters the room through each individual who speaks without fear or favor, who speaks without ego, who speaks their conscience, that God-given part that has been with us and been within us all our lives, and we fought it and killed it and tried to kill it with the drug of our choice. That conscience, that once we are free of chemicals and have learned that there is a way to recover through the steps of Narcotics Anonymous and the traditions, is one that starts to grow and blossom like a flower in the spring. You know, and when we set our own self-serving selves aside and speak for the greater good, for NA unity, that conscience comes out of us. And the loving God speaks and the feeling sweeps through the room. And where there was dissension and disagreement and anger and hostility, to watch a group of people, divergent as we all are, the eclectic bunch of us come together and unify in reaching a decision, that's group conscience. The hell with the tally of the votes. That's the group conscience that we're looking for. You know, our leaders are the trusted servants. They do not govern. And I hear people say, thank God, and I used to do it until my sponsor talked to me about it one time. It doesn't say we don't have leaders. See, this presupposes, this tradition presupposes there are leaders in Narcotics Anonymous. The way they are defined is that they are trusted servants. That is the boundaries of leadership in Narcotics Anonymous. We serve the people who trust us. We are not elected and we govern, because that's what presidents and mayors and senators and representatives and those people, they are elected and they dictate to the people that elect them. They say that they are public servants. We know differently. You know, they dictate, they make rules for the people who elect them to follow. But in Narcotics Anonymous, that's not the way it is. You elect us as your leaders, and as your leaders, we are your servants. And the servants, the service is based on trust. You trust us to do for Narcotics Anonymous what is best, to set our own personal feelings aside, our own egos aside, as best we can. Because we are all still human beings, and we occasionally make mistakes. But on the whole, the people who understand and accept the traditions and the steps as part of recovery will have no problem in the ultimate, in the long run, setting aside personal ego and selfishness. What I have learned through the 3.5 years that I've been in service to Narcotics Anonymous is just that. Is just that. You know, the traditions. Service is where the traditions meet the steps on the road to recovery. That's where I've learned more personal recovery, is through this tradition and the other 11 traditions in my own personal life. Being able to set aside my ego, to find out what it means to have you trust me. You know, what it means to not being able to sleaze and dope fiend and manipulate because you have put me in a position of trust. and I have earned and lived up to that position of trust by doing things that are inconsistent with my nature as a drug addict, as a dope fiend, as an addict, a person who is a disease of addiction. I've seen people that I get into trusted servant positions, and I thought, God, they'll never be able to do that. And I look around, and they're not the person they were. They are not the person they were because they have come to understand what trusted servant means. So when you say, you know, we have no leaders, thank God. We have leaders. It's just we define them differently than any other organization. We define them in the nature of how they serve through our trust. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. It don't say stop using what? I have a desire to stop using people, places, and things. That's my desire. What I've achieved is a stopping using chemicals. I've achieved that. I have achieved clean. What I'm looking to achieve is recovery. You know, and that's what I have. That's what keeps me coming back to these rooms day after day after day, is my desire to stop using people, places, and things. Being clean and being in recovery to me are two totally different things. I was clean for 3 years in this program, but I was in active addiction. See, I was addicted to the woman I was married to, and I was not recovering, but I was clean because I had not stuck any chemicals in my body for that period of time. But I had not worked the steps because I was in active addiction, and an addict in active addiction has absolutely no need for the steps. None. So what I'm looking for is a desire to stop using my addiction as an excuse for old behavior. What I'm looking for is a desire to start using the steps and traditions in Narcotics Anonymous to change my old ways, to become different, to learn how to walk this path in consistent with the principles of recovery, consistent with those 24 spiritual principles. And since I don't do it perfectly, and I'll never do it perfectly, I keep coming back to you all to find out how to do it. You all give me my answers. I didn't have them when I got here. I've got some answers now. I haven't been any other place, so I must have got them here. You know, process of elimination. What a concept. You know? They said when your best thinking got you here, and that's not a compliment. It took me about 6 months to figure out what they meant when they said that. And this is someone who's got 20 years of formal education and a high IQ, you know? I'm grateful that I know a hell of a lot less than I knew when I got here. But to get me through that door, the only requirement for me to stay in this room is a desire to stop using. What keeps me coming back is a desire to start growing, a desire to accept change in my life. So what I've learned about recovery is through one of the major things I've learned about recovery is through this tradition. Not only am I going to stop using, choosing to stop using something is another choice to start using something else. When I choose not to use chemicals, I'm choosing to start recovery, to start the process of recovery, starting with clean and going on to the steps and traditions. And that's the only requirement for you to come in here and sit down in this room. You know, sit and be a part of this program. Warming chairs is not recovery. Talking about, how are you today? I'm clean. Hey, you know, a lot of people, there are people in the world out there that are clean. We got a disease that is mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual. And when I concentrate only on the physical part of the disease, I'm ignoring the mental, spiritual, and emotional. What I need to do is to learn how to use this program and learn how to stop dying and to start living. And this disease is a killer. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. This tradition is used a lot as a club. You know, we can do what we want to because we're autonomous. People who read that tradition generally read the first part of it. Each group should be autonomous, first five words. And kind of, I don't see anything else there. Are there some other words? You know? And it says, except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Yeah. What I need to do when I'm at my group conscience meeting and going through that group process, that conscience, that sharing at a deep level, an unselfish, unbiased, non-egocentric level at my group conscience, one of the things that I have to take into account is what is on the table to be voted on, to be group conscienced, if there is such a word. Will it affect other groups or NA as a whole? When I make a decision to hold $1,000 as a prudent reserve through the group process, when our group does that, because we may have some expenses and we've got this money and we really don't want to turn loose of it, and our expenses are only $250 a month, and we vote to hold $1,000 as a prudent reserve, well, we can do that because we're autonomous. But that affects NA as a whole. That affects the other groups in my area, the other groups in my region, and NA as a whole, because as a member of that group, we're hoarding money, and we're keeping it from passing on through the service structure. We're keeping some books from not being printed, and we're keeping some pamphlets from not being printed, and we're keeping some committees from not being able to do their work to be able to get the message to the addict that still suffers. But, you know, I'm narrow-sighted. You know, I'm real short-sighted when I get here, and I think, well, it's real important because we might run into a disaster and may need to buy $750 worth of coffee. Or we might run low on ashtrays. We may not need to buy some ashtrays, so it's real good, you know. It's not NA's money. I mean, it's not my money. When I put it in the basket, it belongs to NA, you know. And that's all there is to the money, is once I give it up and it goes for through the service structure to the work it's supposed to do. So I have to be able, through this tradition, to be able to get out of myself and share that with the group that in going through the group conscience. I have to be able to get out of myself and help other people through my experience get out of themselves to see that what we're doing looks like that we're autonomous, but what we're really doing is we're affecting other groups and NA as a whole. You know, we could have a group that says that you have to paint your body blue to be a member of that group, and that's okay, and everybody shows up with a blue body. You know? But a newcomer comes in the door, he's got a right to be there. He or she has a right to be there only if they decide to be sign up as a card-carrying member of the Bluer Than Other Bodies Friday night Sicker Than Others group. Then they have a choice. See, they have a choice. They can paint their body blue. But to sit in the rooms, you go back to tradition 3, which says the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. All of these traditions are interrelated. They're interlocked. So when I look at it, to have the ability to sit at the tables, that's the only requirement for membership in Narcotics Anonymous. If you choose to become a member of the group, then you're choosing to align yourselves with their particular preamble. You know, if you introduce yourself as other than an addict, keep your mouth shut. Talk to somebody after the meeting. There's a meeting in Topanga Canyon in California that, you know, they're real hardcore black belt NA. And there's some other meetings that, you know, they don't care what kind of language you use, and they make reference to page 449 in the big book in part of their preamble. But that's their, I understand. But they are autonomous. See, they're autonomous. They can do that. But when they have somebody come in the door and won't let them talk or won't let them be a part of Narcotics Anonymous because they are not following the particular preamble, then they're starting to affect NA as a whole. You know? If that person wants to join that group as a member of that particular home group, then he or she is kind of bound by what that home group has voted in their group conscience. Back to tradition 2. The loving God has spoken through the group conscience, and they have set particular parameters for membership within a group. But membership in Narcotics Anonymous is unlimited, unbounded, except by one thing, the desire to stop using. Looking at one, when I got asked to speak, she said, "You want to talk about NA language and using, you know, two or three traditions?" I said, "I cannot talk about traditions without talking about them all, because they are so interrelated. They're so a part of one another. When I use one to beat you over the head, with like a club to say, this is my point, it's valid. If you know anything about the traditions, you pick up another club and beat me back over the head saying, you forgot about this one, huh? You know? Traditions are not 12 individual principles. They are not 12 individual little numbered things that you can pick and choose like going through a cafeteria line. Says, well, I'll have, you know, a double order of three and a side order of six and give me a whipped cream on top of 12. No, that's not the way they work. I either take them all as a unit or I don't need to be using them because I'm using them as the club then. And when I come to understand the traditions, I come to understand them as a one mass, one body, and they all interrelate with one another. In keeping with the primary purpose that's talked about in 5, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry the addict, carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Carry the addict. All right. Well, I've been guilty of that occasionally. Carry the message to the addict that still suffers. The primary purpose named in there means it has. We exist as groups for one purpose: to carry a message. To carry the message. See, these traditions are different from those of Alcoholics Anonymous. There are a lot of people who don't realize this, and it was pointed out to me. The fifth tradition in Alcoholics Anonymous says each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. That presupposes that each AA group has its own individual message, which is why there are a lot of special interest meetings in Alcoholics Anonymous. Why they have IKIPA, International Association of Young People, you know, and all those other deals where they have, you know, different cliques in that particular fellowship, because the traditions provide for it. Each has its own message. Each group has its own message. But whoever adapted these principles, these traditions from Alcoholics Anonymous, changed that word. Each group has but one primary purpose: to carry the message. Narcotics Anonymous only has one message and one promise: freedom from active addiction. That's all. And that's all we got for you. If you want anything else, you got to work for it. We will give you freedom from active addiction. Don't use nothing. What a concept. And while you're not using nothing, the pain killer has been removed from my life. I still have the pain. And I say, I haven't used anything in 30 days and I'm hurting. The steps. But that's a choice. See, you don't have to work the steps. You can stay in your shit, stay in your pain, like I did for 3 years. You can do that. Or you can work the steps. See, I learned that, but I'm hard-headed. So when I'm carrying the message, when the people walk in the door, the newcomers come in the door, and they say, you know, what to do? Hey, don't use nothing. Come to meetings. 90 meetings in 90 days. Get a sponsor. Use a sponsor. Talk to somebody after the meeting. Be a part of this fellowship, not just occupying space. That's all part of the message that Narcotics Anonymous has. Doing those simple things will provide freedom from active addiction. And that's the message we carry. Now, the addict that still suffers is not the addict one day clean or 30 minutes clean off the streets, always. The addict that still suffers in these rooms can be me on any given night. Tuesday night, before I left to come out here, I was going through some tremendous insanity. I was trying to close on a house. I wanted out of where I was so bad that I was crazed. I wanted to move to this new house. You know, it was one of those obsessive compulsive behaviors. And the title company and the mortgage broker and the mortgage company were operating on their timetable and not mine, obviously not God's, because God was operating on my timetable. And I was nuts. And besides that, I had just come up with a large chunk of change for Uncle Sam the day before. Well, the amount of money that I had paid in income tax was more than most people in my home group had made that year. And I didn't feel like that I could talk to them about how I couldn't buy this house that I wanted, and I couldn't talk to them about how much money I'd paid in income tax. So I walked up there and I was feeling shut out, separated from, apart from everybody in that room. My feelings were out on my sleeve. If somebody looked at me, it was personal rejection. It was coldness, and I just did not feel a part of. And that's my home group. And I was sitting there, and a couple of my babies were looking at me, you know, and you could tell something was wrong with me. And there was talk, Bucky. You know? And, you know, finally, toward the end of the meeting, I just said that. I feel apart from you all. I don't feel a part of this group. I feel painful. I feel like I don't belong in my own skin. And I went on in that vein for about 5 minutes. Now, I set the problem out on the table. I was the addict that still was suffering in that meeting that night. See? Just because somebody's got 2, 5, 10, 15 years clean time does not mean that they are free from suffering. They may be free from active addiction, but we suffer, you know. And sometimes we suffer about things that we wouldn't have suffered about when we first walked in the door. I've seen people get real sick in this program and almost use because of ego. Not wanting to be the addict that suffered in that room because I feel like I got this amount of time and I'm supposed to carry this wonderful message about how beautiful recovery is and tell all these people how to do it. And I'm not doing it, but I'm still supposed to tell you how to do it because I don't want to look bad. I still want to go back to this hip slick and cool. I was at a meeting. I'd been 17 days in Australia in 87. And I was at a meeting the night before I left. And I was thinking of trying to figure out what I'd gotten out of being over there. And this girl got up right before I was going to say something. And she said, "I only got 3 days clean, and I want to tell you I'm real mad because I heard a woman who had 3 years clean get up and say that she hurt so much that she wanted to commit suicide. How dare she, the bitch?" She has a duty and an obligation to us newcomers to tell about how beautiful and wonderful it is, and I think she was letting us down. And I went, "Huh?" And I had to look at that, and I had some pretty profound words to say on it, but fortunately, a loving God had somebody else called on before I could talk. And that man said something that still is with me today. He said, "Just because we walk in these doors and quit using doesn't mean good times and bad times still stop happening in our life. Good times and bad times are a part of our life, and both will pass at the same speed." Our tendency as addicts is to try to grab a hold of the good times in a headlock and hold them while we're kicking the bad times in the ass out the door. It doesn't work that way. Yeah. What I can do to hasten the passage of either of them is to share where I am at the particular moment that I'm there. So if I'm the addict that's still suffering in that room that night, if I don't share about it, I'm in denial of the disease. I am in denial of my disease of addiction, and I need to tell you where I am that night. I don't care how good I want to look. I don't care how hip, slick, and cool that I need to appear. I have to get honest and tell you what's going on. So the message that you all give me is, after the meeting at my home group on Tuesday night, is people walked over to me and hugged me. You know, that was the message. That was the primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict that still suffers, that I don't have to suffer alone ever again, except by choice. When I choose to sit in a room and I'm in pain and talk about beauty and joy, I'm choosing to suffer. All I have to do is to open myself up to the warmth and the love and the caring and the understanding that exists in these rooms. These traditions are not dry. They are a part of my personal recovery. I learned about being the addict that still suffers through this tradition, through the fifth tradition. That's how I learned about it. You know, I became willing to be honest through the tradition. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 tell us how we can screw up tradition 5. It's just just like, you know, the preparation, execution steps in the 12 steps, you know, became willing and did it and wrote and talked and shortcomings and personal defects, you know, all those preparation, execution steps in the 12 steps. Well, here is some, it tells us we got a primary purpose. The primary purpose is to carry our message to the addict that still suffers. And being addicts, we like to be told how we can screw this up. So the people who wrote these traditions said, well, we need to tell these people how they can screw it up. So they wrote the next six traditions telling us how we can screw it up. We can screw it up by endorsing, financing, or lending the NA name to related facilities or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Remember, the primary purpose is to carry the message. And if we're out doing something else as a primary purpose, we're not doing the primary purpose of carrying the message. You know, and we can get involved in ego. You know, we can go beat the drum for not using drugs on a street corner. But that's not what we're about. See, we're about carrying a message to the addict that walks in the door rather than getting on a soapbox against drugs. We're trying to recover from a disease called addiction, not drug usage, but addiction. You know, and coming to understand the disease of addiction is through the steps, and coming to help recover from it is through the traditions. So what am I going to do if I'm out getting on the TV and talking about how dope's bad? Am I carrying the message? No. No. I'm talking about the problem. See, drugs were never my problem. Drugs were my solution. I was my problem. And I denied that problem all my life through the use of drugs because they provided the solution. No pain. You know, I have pain, I use. No pain. Obviously, I don't have a problem. Once I stop using, the problem is there, and I need to learn how to deal with it through 24 spiritual principles. So 6 tells us how we can divert ourselves from our primary purpose. And we, I don't know about you all, I like money, property, and prestige. It's 3 of my favorite drugs of choice. If I want to do that in my own life, that is my choice, so I can go back to the 5th tradition and be the addict that still suffers. Because I was suffering through money, property, and prestige Tuesday night. I was trying to buy property with a lot of money, and my ego was locked into that house. I had to have that house. You know? I don't know whether I had it, need it or not. I know I want it. So that was where I was. Individually, I was into money, property, and prestige. You know? And I was not capable of delivering a message of recovery that night. But in a sense, in a larger sense, I may have been, because in sharing where I was that night, I told the newcomer it was okay to not feel good all the time. It was okay not to be without pain all the time. I was sharing that it was okay that these things, life's trials and tribulations, don't stop happening just because we get clean. I think that's somewhere in the basic recovery text. You know, thing in the part about it's page 92, it's an important part of my program. Life goes on. Life goes on whether we get clean or we don't. You know, we are required to participate in life if we get clean. By participating in life, I get into recovery. So that's the first way I can screw this primary purpose up, is get involved in endorsing, financing, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. I got into it with a guy in Dallas about a basketball player that is in Dallas that had conned the management of that particular basketball team that he was going to CA, and there hadn't been a CA meeting in Dallas in a year and a half. But he convinced him he was going to his recovery there. And talked to him, and the guy said, hey, I've been looking for some AA from NA literature, and I've been to intergroup, and I went to the Phoenix AA group looking for NA literature, and they didn't have any. You know, I said, well, no shit, you know. I would hope they wouldn't. I said, here, I'll give you the name of the regional service. He said, you just mail it to me. I said, okay, I'll do it. So as long as we're carrying a clear-cut, defined message, we don't have to become involved in putting that message out in other fellowships. All we have to do is to be what we are, be the best possible fellowship we can be, and they'll keep coming in the door. You know, we don't have to go prospect in somebody else's gold mine to be able to find gold. You know, I'm ignoring the I find a nugget over there and ignore the mother lode that exists in the rooms where I go. Every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. That's another way we can screw up our primary purpose. Owing somebody outside this fellowship, you know, having to do the deed and the deal the way they want it done. You know, if somebody, you know, it's kind of hard to deal with this issue, but it's part of me. I make a great deal of money. I make a great deal of money directly as a result of the program of Narcotics Anonymous, because it's freed me from active addiction and started me on the road of recovery. And as a result, I'm a different person than I was 6 years ago, 6.5 years, 7 years ago. Okay? I have enough money to support my region by myself. Not that big a budget for the region, but that's a lot of money. If I did that, I would do it through noble, loving, caring reasons at the time that I did it. But I'm an addict. And if you didn't vote the way I thought you ought to vote it, I would remind you who's supporting the region. Which is why we need to learn how to be fully self-supporting as individuals who come together as a group. Each of us should give what we can afford. If it's the dollar in the basket, if you can afford more than the dollar in the basket, it's okay to put more than a dollar in the basket. It's not okay to put $100 in the basket. That's my own personal opinion. You know, I put more than a dollar in the basket, but I don't put so much that I feel like that I have a right to dictate to my group what it does in group conscience. I've experimented, and I find that happy medium in there, that comfortable place where I can put in enough to be a part of and not be more than a part of. Not being overwhelming. You know, Narcotics Anonymous has always had and probably always will have, God love it, financial problems, and we have never been fully self-supporting. Fully self-supporting means that we pay the same price for hotels and convention halls and rent that other people, John Doe's off the street, pay. We always get a break, okay? We always get a break. We get a better price on the soft drinks. We get a better price on the coffee if we go shopping. But what we do is learn how to be not dependent on that break, to use what we can get for the group, for the purpose, back to that primary purpose in the fifth tradition. We learn how to use the ability to get these things from the outside to further our primary purpose.